sometimes they can get themselves in a mess. Big boys can too, but these were boys, and they had made friends with old Mr. Green. And Mr. Green let them play baseball in his front yard, and he had this huge antebellum home with big picture windows with gold leaf in the glass. Now, Mr. Green, to me, wasn't showing a lot of common sense to let a bunch of little boys play baseball in the front yard when he had those big windows with, you know, gold leaf in them anyway. But anyway, the thing was, he loved the little boys, and he wanted them to have a good time, and that was the only place in that town where there was just a good open area to play ball. But one day, one of the little boys hit a foul ball, and you got it right. It went right through the middle of one of those windows that old Mr. Green loved so much. Well, you know what the little boys did. They ran home. You know, they were scared to death. They knew Mr. Green liked them, but they also knew Mr. Green loved those windows. Well, later that night, little Johnny was there in his room, and he hadn't told anybody, his family, about it, because he's a little boy, and you just don't volunteer information, right? But the phone rings, and he heard his dad pick up the phone, and it was Mr. Green. So he went to his room and hid out. And after he talked to Mr. Green, his dad came in and said, "Johnny, guess what? Mr. Green called, and he has bought a new baseball field for you guys to play. And he's decked out with bases and a fence, you know, backdrop fence." And he says, "Not only that, Mr. Green's bought new uniforms for you guys so that you can look sharp when you play, and new equipment for you guys." Well, how do you think Johnny felt? You know, here he was. He wouldn't even have the nerve to go apologize to Mr. Green. He hadn't even had the nerve to tell his dad or his folks what had happened. And here Mr. Green was doing this, and he began to cry. And then he told his dad all about it. How they'd broken the window and been scared and run off and all of that. Well, his dad said, "You know, John, there's only one thing you can do. If you want to do what's right, you got to go to Mr. Green and tell him what happened and apologize. And then if you really think you guys want this new field and equipment, you need to ask Mr. Green for it." Well, the next day, Johnny met with the other boys, and of course, they all felt bad. But they couldn't agree on what to do. I think they were Baptists. I'm not sure. Some of them agreed with Johnny that they just needed to go fess up and apologize. And some agreed with Johnny, but they didn't want to ask for the new stuff because they didn't think they deserved it. And then some of them just thought they ought to forget the whole thing and take up basketball, you know. So, you know, they just couldn't figure out what to do. And in the end, a few of them went to Mr. Green's house, and Mr. Green listened to what they had to say. And then Mr. Green said something kind of interesting. He said, "You know, boys, I was watching you play the whole time. And I saw what happened. And I love my window, but boys, I love y'all a lot more than I love that old silly window. You're my boys. It's not a matter of, that window's nothing compared to you guys. And I bought the new equipment and the field for you boys because you needed it and because I loved you. So here's your new equipment, and you pick it up and pick out yours, and you tell the other boys that when they want their equipment, they just come over and pick it up. And then y'all can all go out and play." Well, Johnny and his friends, man, they were excited. They had all this new cool stuff. And so they ran to tell their friends, but the other boys didn't believe it. They thought there had to be a catch, you know. And do you know, they never went to get their new equipment because they didn't trust the love of Mr. Green
and they thought there had to be a catch some way. Now write this down. God is faithful. And sometimes, you know, things happen in our life and we think, well, you know, God's not faithful. You know, God's always faithful. We may not be. There's been millions of times that I've been unfaithful to God. But God has always been faithful. Now, some people don't believe it. They're like those little boys. They believe that because they were unfaithful, that God will give up on them. They think that because of our unfaithfulness to God, that somehow God will become, as a result, unfaithful to us. Now, folks, let me be clear here. And I think everyone in this room, if you're honest, will admit we fail God. Some of us fail God more, but we all fail God at some point. And this can cause a break, and we've all had this, in our relationship with God. It's just like if you've got a good best friend and you let them down, that kind of feels bad and you have a hard time, they have a hard time, or your husband or your wife and you have a little fuss or you let one, you know, you blow it or whatever, and until you get that made up or apologize and admit you were wrong and all of that, then you're going to have a little struggle there, but the relationship is really still there. And we have a choice. At that point, we can go and we can confess to God when we have failed Him and be forgiven, or we can try to cover it up and pretend that it's okay, or we can just go find another game to play. Take up basketball. In any case, either case, if we belong to God, God loves us. There is no catch to that, as some people seem to think. If we examine ourselves, if we confess our sins humbly before God and ask for forgiveness, there will be no catch. Forgiveness will come. And many people do not believe this because they think there's a catch. They have trusted people before and there was a catch. They've tried people before and there was a catch. But God is not a person. You can trust God. You can trust God's faithfulness. And if we fail to believe that God is faithful, then we will fail to know His faithfulness. And that does not mean He will still not be faithful to us. He will continue to be faithful to us. We just won't know about it because we won't look at Him. And the reason is because we have decided willfully to commit a sin. The sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief, if you are a non-Christian, will send you to hell. If you don't believe in Jesus, you will go to hell. I'm sorry, I had a cousin, and he said, oh, I believe everything you're saying, but I don't believe in Jesus. And I said, okay, well, you're just going to go to hell then, because anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus will go to hell. That's scriptural. I will go over it. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. And that's a sad thing. For a Christian, though, the sin of unbelief just breaks apart relationships between us and God. We are committing the sin of unbelief. We are committing the sin of doubt. The sin of thinking that we actually know more than God. Now I want us to look at what the Bible says about trusting God's faithfulness. And we're going to look at several passages. And I don't make any apologies for reading quite a bit of the Word. Because really, to be honest with you guys, what this says is much more important than what I say. What I say. If you don't hear a word I say today, that's fine. You listen to this, you'll be good. Amen? I mean, this is God's word. So let's look in Mark chapter 9 at a story. And we're going to also look at several others as we go this morning, but this will be the main thing we'll be coming back to again and again. Mark chapter 9, and we'll start reading in verse 14. It's an interesting story about having faith. Verse 14 of Mark chapter 9 says, "And when he," that's talking about Jesus, "came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes were questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him," or greeted him. "And so he asked the scribes, 'What are you questioning them about?'" Talking about his disciples. "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Masters, I brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he takes him, it tears him, and he foams and gasps and with his teeth and pines away. And I spoke to your disciples, and they should cast out the demons, and they couldn't do it.' So Jesus answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me.' So they brought the young man to him, and he saw him, and straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, 'How long has he been this way?' And he said, 'Since he was a child. And oftentimes it's cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said unto him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.' And straightway the father said a very Baptist thing." He didn't say that, but he said, "Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief." And I said, "Jesus, I believe in you, but you got to help me because I don't really believe in you." You know, it's kind of one of those things, But it was the best he could do, and that's all God expects out of us. "When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, 'Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him.' And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, and as much as many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come to the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why couldn't we cast him out?'" See, the disciples have been going around casting out demons. So they said, "We couldn't get this demon out. Why not?" And Jesus said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting." Did you see what Jesus said in verse 19 about, "Oh, unbelieving generation, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" Jesus seems almost disgusted with his disciples as he says this, doesn't he? He just almost just sounds like, "Gosh, you guys are, you drive me nuts." I think it's more of a frustration than a disgust, though. Because Jesus has taught these guys and taught these guys and taught these guys and taught these guys. He has done miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and everyone and all of these disciples had seen them over and over again. But they still didn't believe. They still struggled with belief. And this wasn't the only place. If this was the only story in the Bible about Jesus and his disciples, that would be, you say, "Well, they just messed up that one time." But there are bunches of them. You can go back over here. Go back over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. There's another very familiar story, verse 28.
You know, I just want you to get a handle on this, because I think it's an issue that all of us, or many of us, your preacher sure does, so I could just say that I still struggle. In verse 28, Matthew 14:28, it says, and Peter answered him. Now, here's the situation we're getting into. They're all out on a boat, but the disciples are, and they look out on the water, and somebody's walking up on the water. And then they said, oh, it's okay, it's Jesus, you know. So that's the situation. Jesus is walking on the water, and he's walking up to him, and he's, it's kind of weird, I would be, you know, kind of. But look what in verse 28, and Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, let me come out on the water and play too. He didn't really say play, but he said, let me come too. And Jesus said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But then he looked around and saw the wind, and he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, listen to this, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? And then go back to Mark. Let me give you another one. Jesus confronted Peter. At least Peter had a little faith. The other disciples didn't even get out in the water, did they? They didn't have anything. In Mark 4:37, this is another story about a storm. You know, this is one of my favorite sermon stories, but it says, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. That means the ship was full of water. And he was in the hinder part, the back of the ship, Jesus was, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up to say, Master, don't you care that we are about to perish? And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now listen to what he said to them. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Keeps coming up, doesn't it? Even after Jesus died and was resurrected, this was the same type of issue. And you can look on over just to Luke, the end of Luke. Luke chapter 24, the last chapter, verse 17. And this is a story. This is about these guys, after the crucifixion, are walking down the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes up to them. And look at this in verse 17. And Jesus said to them, what manner of communications are these you're talking about? In other words, what are y'all talking about? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, said unto him, art thou only a stranger to Jerusalem, and not known the things which are come to pass these days? And Jesus said, what things? And they told him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been him which would redeem Israel. And besides all this, the day is the third day since these things were done. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found out not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it to be so, even as the women had said, but him they saw not. But then Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Wow. These guys had heard the truth from people who knew Jesus was resurrected. They doubted. All these stories have two things in common. Did you notice it? The first thing they have in common are that Jesus rebuked the people for lack of faith. Write that down. He rebuked them. He said, you know, he got on to them because they didn't have faith.
Let me ask you this. Do you think he'd do the same for us today? Choir sang a great little medley of songs about God's faithfulness. You know, it's not so much about our faith, although that's important. It's about our faith in his faithfulness. And the second thing is their lack of faith was corrected once they looked at Jesus and really saw him for who he was. They received power for him to overcome. I didn't read that part. The first one in Matthew, where you know, they were talking about, and Peter was walking on the water, it says in verse 33, "And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'You are certainly God's son.'" So they came to faith once they saw the truth. And over in Mark 4:41 about the storm, and it says, "And they became very much afraid and said to one another, 'Who is then that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" They came to recognize who Jesus really was. And in Luke 24:31, these guys, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And dear brothers and sisters, let me just tell you, the main thing that we need to do in order to trust God's faithfulness is to look to Jesus, and we need to look at Jesus for what he really is. He is God Almighty. He is the creator of the universe. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one whom the Holy Spirit was sent here to glorify. He is the one who is all in all, and the one that we can get, who can give us everything we need in every situation, no matter how hopeless it seems, or no matter how glorious it seems. He can give us what we need, and what we need is a closer relationship to him. What we need is more looking to him and less looking to the world and the situations around us. Yes, there are waves. Yes, there are storms. Yes, there are times when doubts attack us, but we need to look to Jesus. Because, folks, if we don't, we will be rebuked by God, because a lack of faith is a sin. There is a Jesus who will lift us up above things and give us the faith and love and healing we need. And we need to trust God's faithfulness, and we need to give Jesus allow Jesus to give us that trust. Because, as we see, Jesus said, in our going back to verse 21 in our story, all things are possible. Jesus said, all things are possible. Write that down. And if the Bible says it, it's true. What is possible is only limited by our faith in God's faith. There are several teachings in the New Testament about faith, you know, we can look at that illustrate that. You know, in Matthew 9, again, we have a story or a teaching, verse 27. It says, "And when Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, saying, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Believe you that I am able to do this?' And they said unto him, 'Yes, Lord.' And he touched their eyes and saying, 'According to your faith, be it done to you.' And their eyes were opened." Their eyes were opened. Be it done according to your faith. Sometimes, even though all things are possible by faith, we are limited by our lack of faith in God's faith and our lack of looking to Jesus. Remember Peter on the water? Who did he look for to give him help? Jesus. Remember the disciples in the boat? What did they do when they were scared to death and the boat was sinking? They woke Jesus up. You know, in our story today, the disciples were powerless to cast out that demon because they lacked faith, and they looked to Jesus when he came, and Jesus did it.
Maybe the reason that we lack faith and believe in God's faithfulness that can give you victory is because we have not looked to Jesus. Be it done according to your faith. James 1, 5, and 6 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." There is no catch. There's no catch to that. You can see God's faithfulness and God's love if you look to Jesus and recognize him as God and believe that he can do what he said. I think verse 25 is interesting. The demon in our text, the demon was a demon of deaf and dumbness. Maybe that's our problem, you know. I thought about that. I said, well, we have demons of deaf and dumbness or dumbiness. I don't know. But let he who has ears to hear, hear. Some things, as Jesus said in our text, can only come through much prayer. Now, some translations say through much prayer and fasting. And I think fasting is a good explanation of the type of prayer that's needed, a type of prayer that excludes all other thoughts and desires. This is what fasting does. Fasting begins after you fast for a while, you begin to not think about things that you think about all the time, like food. How many of you, as soon as you get through your meal, you start thinking about your next meal? You know what I'm talking about? If you're fasting, that's taken away. And not only that, surprisingly, so many other things that you think are so important, they're also taken away. And the fasting, it kind of focuses you in on prayer and all of that. I was thinking, is this thing on? Yeah. Make sure y'all didn't have my sign up, so I knew I was okay. Anyway, trust, write it down, kids, can only happen in a modern world through much prayer. John 16:24, "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Does that describe you? Is your joy full? Well, ask and it will be, no matter what your circumstances. Ephesians 6:18, "Pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." We should be praying for each other. All of us as Christians are saints. We should pray all of the time for each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Continually, write that down. We should continually be in prayer for ourselves and others. And remember the little boys on Johnny's team? Some of them did not have faith in Mr. Green and his love for them. They did not trust his faithfulness. And probably there may be many in this room who doubt God's faithfulness to you because you are so unfaithful to him. Well, we must pray without ceasing for each other so that we will never doubt God and his faithfulness. And I want to ask you, you know, I've read a lot of scripture, and I pray that something has challenged you. I pray that it has. There is no catch to any of it. God is faithful. God loves you. He wants good things for all of us. If you examine yourself and you confess your sins and you humble yourself before God, if you've asked God for forgiveness, then you can trust that he'll give you that. But let me just say this, if you have not humbled yourself before God, now is the time to do that. Because he loves you. He wants to have a relationship to you. And when we have our time of invitation, I want to invite you to do that. You know, if you've never accepted Jesus, it's an important thing to do. It's an important thing to do. Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven, and he lived a life and died on the cross and paid for your sins. And if you're willing to admit your sins and willing to turn from those sins and turn to Jesus and believe and call upon his name, you can be saved today. There's no catch to that. You don't have to do anything to be special or something like that to earn your salvation. None of that. Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. And you come to him and you turn from sins to him in belief and faith and call upon his name. You can be saved. And it's hard sometimes because we all have this baggage from our past, you know, where we've been mistreated by people, maybe even our own parents. And it's hard for us to trust in anyone. But if you take that first step of trust, then from then on, once that relationship is started, then he begins to build that trust. He you know, it may not be overnight. I mean, you know, I accepted the Lord when I was 9 years old, and I'm going to tell you, I'm still learning. But I encourage you to come to Jesus today, and I pray that all of us as Christians would learn to trust in the faithfulness of God. Look, sometimes things happen in our lives and it just seems like God's not there, he's not doing it, and you watch the news and you sure think that. It doesn't matter about that. God is still faithful. And sometimes, you know, let me just say this. Sometimes things that he does for us and wants us to do, it doesn't seem like a lot of fun. It's like as a parent. You know what I used to make my kids do? Some of you parents aren't going to believe this. I used to make my kids go to school, Glenn. I made them go to school. I said, you got to go to school. They didn't like it sometimes, particularly my son. They didn't want to go to school. Wasn't fun. It was just, it's boring. It's boring. Everything's got to be unboring. And I thought, wait till you grow up and get a job. Talk about boring, you know. You know what I'm talking about. But I made them do it. Why? Because that's the best thing for them. And sometimes God does that to us. Sometimes things have to happen in our lives so we can grow up and it's boring, or, it's not exciting, or, you know, it hurts, or whatever. But it's for the best for us. But God is faithful, and you can trust him. I may not have always made the best decisions for my kids. I tried to, but I may not have. But God's God, and God doesn't make mistakes, and God is faithful to you. Give you your best for you. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in here that's never accepted you as their Savior, that right now they would come and ask you into their hearts. Lord, I also pray that we all would recognize and accept your faithfulness. Lord, you are so good to us. We don't want to be like those little boys on the team that just decided to play another game or just would not admit they had done anything wrong or thought there was a catch and wouldn't go to Mr. Green. Lord, we know you're so much more than Mr. Green, but it's the same principle, Lord. We just always act like there's a catch with you, and there never is. We just have trouble believing. So, Lord, I'm going to pray the prayer of that father that we read about. Help us, Lord, with our unbelief. Lord, we're going to sing in a song, and Lord, if anyone needs to come and pray and get saved or do anything like that, Lord, I pray that during this time of this song of invitation that we're singing about your faithfulness, that we would obey you. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name.